Thank you, Patricia, for that special. I hope that you take the time to listen to the words of some of these songs. There's a secret place that God is inviting me to come and stay. And by the way, that secret place it really resembles what that means is the time or the place that we are close to God. We get to spend time with Him, amen? And God doesn't want us just to come and visit. God wants us to stay there. I think the problem with a lot of Christians, including myself sometimes, is that we choose to view the will of God as something that we can just visit every now and then, right? Never really stay. But man, Patricia, you messed up my sermon for tonight. But there should be a handout there. But thank you for that song. And if you can grab your handouts, we're going to have a lot of notes here. I want to make sure that we get finished here. The title of the message this evening is going to be Parenting with God's Purpose. Parenting with God's Purpose. If I can get you to stand very quickly, please. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at one verse. Parenting with God's Purpose. Proverbs 22. We're going to look at that all too familiar verse, verse number 6. If you could do me a favor, and the first time we read it, if you can read along with me, and then I'll read one more time by myself. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. The Bible says, ready to begin, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me read it by myself. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's go ahead and pray this evening. Father, help me tonight. I really do pray that you would be with us, your believers. As Brother Jerry mentioned this evening, to open up the service, help us to get something that will cause us to change for the better. Oh God, please, that's the purpose of church. The fellowship is wonderful. The singing is great, and that is important. But God, we want to leave changed for the better. And I pray, dear Lord, that there be something we can get from your word or from the lesson tonight that we can apply immediately into our life and reap the rewards. We love you. That's why we're here tonight. Now feed us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. As we read just a little while ago, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. One thing I do want to clarify, some people have taught this to mean that when you train up your child in the way that they should go, they will not backslide, they will not drift away from God, they will not stumble. Well, I hate to tell you, I'm not much of a scholar, but that is not what the Bible says. You know, we are to train our children in God's ways, the ways that God would have them go, and when they are old, they have the freedom of choice, right? Just like we have the freedom of choice. However, the Bible does tell us that when they do go astray, and if they do go astray, when the Bible says he will not depart from it, I believe the word of God is saying that that conviction is always going to be there. Yep. We've seen it time and time again in ministry when people come back to the Lord after an hiatus. You know, it could be a couple years from God. It could be a decade from God. It could be a couple months. They always come back and they say, man, I knew where I was supposed to be all along. Or they'll say something like this, my mom and my dad taught me better. By the way, it's very important to invest to train our children in the way he should go. Why? Because it's not going to leave them, amen? Very important. I think the most of us in here can agree that child rearing is a very important topic for us to study and to learn about. God is very concerned in how we raise our children. That's why he gave us this text. It is important to God. However, child rearing is not always as easy to teach in church for the following reasons, okay? The first reason is there are no perfect parents, at least that I know of. And most only want to hear about child rearing from perfect parents. You'll hear all the excuses. Well, you know what? You've not gone through this, so you can't teach that. You know, that means to say that nobody can teach me because I don't know of anybody that has a 37-year-old son that's a principal with five kids, the oldest named Charlie, the youngest named Benjamin. You know, the circumstances don't have to match, but the biblical principles can apply to all, amen? And they could be there for us to listen to. Another reason why it's hard to teach is everyone is an expert in their own minds, in child rearing. So they are uninterested in adding anything to their current methods. And by the way, this is very dangerous in today's society because of YouTube and because of secular influence. You can get some weird way of child rearing from just about anybody. Just because they have a million views or 1,000 views or whatever it may be, we have to be very careful about that. Amen. Well, I don't want to disappoint you tonight, but I am not an expert in child rearing, okay? There are some white spaces on your paper. If you have a pen, you can doodle, draw a treehouse, whatever you want. I'm also not professing to be an expert. However, everything that I will share tonight will be Bible-based and valuable tips that I have learned from books that I've read or from other parents that are much closer, much, much closer to perfection than I am. And by the way, also, what I'm going to teach tonight is a result of just being a product of Pacific Baptist Church. Being here since I was about 13 years old, there are things that God has allowed me to learn from the Word of God and from wise preachers that I get to apply as a parent right now. And I'm excited to share some of these things for anybody that wants to listen. Someone once said that there's not one thing that I can't learn from anybody. There's not one thing that I can't learn from anybody, and I hope that will be our approach this evening. Now, I do see a lot of singles, and I do see a lot of teenagers. Let me say this. Most of the notes that I took about parenting was far before I ever had my first child, was far before I ever got married. I didn't even know my wife existed at that time. As a teenager, as a single adult, I knew one day I wanted to be a parent, but I didn't want to just be an ordinary parent. I wanted to be a parent that raised children for God's glory. I wanted my children to be significant in God's eyes, not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. So I took notes. I encourage you to take some notes as well tonight. Child rearing, as I mentioned, is an important topic because improper child rearing leads to a very stressful home. Can we agree on that? You know, it seems that every child, every time I have five children, after each child, you know, be one of my mom's friends or one of my family members or distant family members will come by and say, all right, you have one kid, you have two kids, that's enough. That's enough. You don't want to have any more kids, especially in America, especially in today's society, because you are going to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Just look at your local Walmart and these kids that are screaming and all that noise and violent screeching. That isn't an adult. That is a child. And you don't want more than two, and then I'd have another one. Okay, three is enough. I don't know what your problem is. All right, four is enough. Five is, you know, every time they say that, I challenge my wife. Let's have another one. But I think we're good, right? My wife's not in here right now. But you know what? I can understand where they're coming from because children can bring stress to a home if they're not raised right. And really, it's not even the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault. A dysfunctional home produces a stressful situation when kids can eat candy whenever they want, when they can go to sleep whenever they want, when the iPad is their predominant parent at home. Man, are you kidding me? It is going to be crazy at home. I don't blame the world for thinking that way. But praise God, as Christians, we have the Word of God, and we can raise our children with God's purpose. God's purpose. I didn't mention this, but it's worth mentioning. A very stressful home is very hard to center around Christ. You notice that? You know, it's very hard to live for God and to read your Bible when there's so much noise and whining and irritation and anguish. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's hard enough to read my Bible with five kids that are somewhat peaceful at home, but I couldn't imagine bickering, rebellion. Oh man, you look at me one more time like that, I'll smack you or whatever it may be, and then you go to your room, time to read the Bible. Not really, okay? It's hard. That's why we want to have a God-centered home. Well, there are three methods that I want to talk about tonight when it comes to parenting that is practiced today. All right, the first method is parenting with no purpose in mind. Can I get you to say no purpose? No purpose. These are parents that have no specific goals for their children, good or bad. Okay, they live from day to day as a parent. They view children, in some cases, as a nuisance. They're in the way. Well, you know what? I guess parents, when you get married, I mean, the natural thing is to have kids. Now that we have kids, they're good for tax write-offs. But that's about it, okay? They're just kind of in the way right now. I can't really go out on a date with my wife without finding a babysitter. I can't really do this on this vacation because now you have to pay for little kids to ride on the plane with you. And they're almost in the way, okay? And then next, they're only interested in investing as little as they can into their children. These aren't parents that generally do homework with their kids. These aren't parents that invest by playing with their kids. It's kind of like, I got you a bedroom, I got you a bed, here's an iPad, just use up some hours in the day so we can recycle and do this the next day. Okay? What a shame. They allow their children to do whatever they want. So normally, parents that spoil their kids almost fall into this area right here. They think they have purpose, but in reality, they're spoiling their kids, they're damaging their kids, but it doesn't matter to them why. There's no specific end goal in mind, all right? And then that's the first form of parenting. The second one is parenting with their own purpose in mind. parenting with their own purpose in mind. These are parents that have specific goals for their children. Sounds good so far, right? While their child is very young, they set specific goals and dreams of what they, the parent, want their child to achieve. And by the way, that is not wrong in itself. I believe most parents want good things to happen to their kids, and they're going to route them there accordingly. And we'll talk about the difference in just a little bit. These parents are parents that want to live out their own dreams in the life of their children. By the way, this stems from pride. You know, they want to be able to show people, look what my child accomplished. I mean, that in the Asian community, that's big. You know, my child is a doctor. My child is a lawyer. My child is this. My child is that. I remember this story on YouTube, and you can't believe all the stories on YouTube, but let's just pretend it's real for a moment. There's these Asian parents that are sitting around, and I think there's about four of them, and they're all bragging, right? They're all bragging about what their child did, you know, and they're older. They're in a nursing home, ironically, right? And one of them, that goes, you know what? My child's a doctor. Man, my child's a doctor. He makes a lot of money. The next one, my child is a lawyer. Whoa, man, that's a lot of money. My child is like, you know, a judge or whatever, you know, some really high position. And then they go to the fourth lady, what does your child do? You know, and she was getting ready to answer, and then a car pulls up, and then her son comes out with roses and flowers and all that stuff. And I think she says something along the lines of, and I forget, but the whole context was, you know, my child visits me, okay? My child spends time with me. I think we get caught up in the wrong things sometimes, right? Trying to live out our own dreams in our children, not realizing that God has specific goals for them himself, all right? This also involves selfishness. Selfishness. If I can turn the page here. I didn't accomplish what I wanted to in my life, so now my child will accomplish it for me. That's very selfish. I raised this child, so I get to choose what they do. They are mine. If they are successful, they can take care of me better when I am older. Now we're just thinking about ourselves, right? Man, I don't want that nursing home. I don't want to have to worry about my retirement. But if I raise this kid right and set him on a path to have a good income, I am going to be taken care of for life. Well, the problem is they may help take care of you if everything works out. But a lot of the times, Brother Ryan, what happens is they neglect their parents because they've learned that money is everything and family is very little, and they go off being successful, leaving their parents to make YouTube videos on, you know, amen, sitting around a table. Not sure if that's true or not. All right, we got to be careful. This shows a lack of faith in God. There's more value that is placed on having enough of material things than having enough of God. Nothing can compare to our children having a close walk with God. One of the best things that your child can do in life is be able to get a hold of God when he needs to. How many times in your life have you been in a situation where prayer was everything? Not income, all right? Not intelligence, not property, but prayer. Man, good night. There's some situations in life. It could be a sick person. It could be anything. All right, and I almost gave some personal illustrations. I want to be careful, but the most important thing that you needed was to be able to access God. That ought to be important to us. The protection, the provision, the confidence we get when we're close to God cannot be compared to anything. You know, when my kids are older, I want them to be successful. I want them to be able to be comfortable for the most part, but that isn't the priority. The thing that's going to help my son stay married, the thing that's going to help his children honor his parents, the thing that's going to help me have a multi-generational vision is that my children have a walk with God, that my children place value on the things of God, because all those other things don't necessarily keep a family together. Okay, they don't. They don't, and they don't bring joy. We got to be careful about that. The third method of parenting that I want to talk about tonight is parenting with God's purpose in mind. Parenting with God's purpose in mind. These are parents that also have specific goals for their children. They recognize that their children belong to God, though, amen? Psalms 127:3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." In other words, an inheritance from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Our children, Charlie, Audrey, Andy, Alani, and Benjamin, they are gifts to me from God. And the sooner that I realize that my children is a gift, the better off I will be. But my gifts from God are to be given back to him, amen, so that he can do something special with them. They're an inheritance of the Lord. They belong to God. These parents have their minds made up. The ultimate priority in their life is to have God's will fulfilled in their children's life above all else. And by the way, I'm not going to ask you right now to put yourself and, you know, to see which form of parenting you fall under. But ask yourself this question. What is the priority for your children? And then back it up with some evidence. Because it's easy to say, I want my kids to live for God. But what steps are you taking to prove that to Him? Oh, I want my, you know, a lot of, I call them secular Christian parents, they know the Bible, they hear the Bible, but they try to explain it away. You know, that's really good, but you know, it's just really important for me to have this right now. It's like, wow, we try so hard to eliminate the essence of the Christian life, which is faith. We try to work everything out so that our kids don't have much to have faith in, right? But really, faith is what honors and pleases God. Very, very important. Everything around, revolves around their children being in the center of God's will. This includes what church they go to. They choose church not based off of a comfort and not based off of a camaraderie or friendship. They base it off of preaching, right? They base it off of Bible teaching. They base the church that they choose off of what church is going to help my child be in the center of God's will. Very important. That's why I'm glad I'm a part of Pacific Baptist Church. And then they also base the education and the schooling. And I'm not going to talk about this because I know everyone's going to say that I'm biased, and I am biased. I'm a part of Pacific Baptist School, but this is a big one. This is where I think a lot of people get a little wary here because they say God is the most important, but then they try to map all these other things out with risks that are just not worth it. I know a lot of good young people, not necessarily from our church, but from other churches that I know of, where right when their kids reach college or university age, you lose them. Things start being planted in their minds and they're as a freshman, as a sophomore, and you'll never hear about it until they've been ingrained and saturated in their hearts. By the time they're juniors and seniors, you start to hear about it, and you think you can move in and show a couple of verses of the Word of God, but it's been saturated in their lives. Yeah. And in a lot of them, they renounce their faith. And they say they never believed in God. You say, that's not a big deal. Let me tell you what that means. That means when they die, they go to hell. Yeah. Right. If someone doesn't believe in Christ, they die and go to hell. And I don't know about you. You don't have to be a parent to understand. That's the worst situation we can be in. Very, very important. So what is at stake here? You see, I'm getting off track here, but with sin, with irresponsible decisions, whatever it may be, we think we can choose the circumstances. You know, if I mistreat my wife, this is the worst that's going to happen. She's just going to yell at me and we'll get along the next day. If I raise my children to have a secular mindset, yeah, I can always bring them back in by bringing them to church and put them up in youth conference and once a year go to winter camp. And we think we can control everything. But the thing about Satan and with sin is that he'll always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay far more than you want to pay. How many people negotiated with sin and with the devil, thinking that they can maybe be unfaithful to their wife, thinking that everything will work out, lose everything? Yep. All right, let's be careful about negotiating with our flesh, sin, and the devil. It's just not worth it. And then the same with friends. You know, everything revolves around their children being in the center of God's will. Will these friends help my children be closer to God? Will these friends help give them a godly appetite? Will these friends hurt the godly appetite that I'm trying to establish at home? I don't know about you, but all the effort that I'm placing in my life, pay attention, fellas, all the effort, the time that I pray with my kids, the time that I train my kids, and I know I can do a lot more of it, the time that I invest my kids, the time that I watch my kids, the time that I observe my kids, I don't want anybody coming by and taking that away and planting some sin in their life. I don't want that. It's too important to me. But we're so nonchalant because we don't think about God's purpose in the decisions that we make with our kids because we think they're invincible. And we find out when it's far too late. Tonight, I'd like to talk about parenting with God's purpose. As a parent, we have a choice in how we raise our children. That choice is going to come with consequences, or that choice is going to come with amazing benefits. I would hope to think that we make the right choices in life. Five ways that we can parent with God's purpose, and I'll be done. The first way is by showing love, more specifically, God's love. I believe it's very important for us to enjoy our children. I believe so. You know, as much as I discipline my kids and as much as I tell them they can't do this, they can't do that, they can't go here, and I would admit to many I would probably be considered as a strict parent. But as strict as some view me to be, my in-laws called me militant. Amen. It's funny. When I was, you know, we just started having kids, everything was like militant, militant. And now they brag about our grandkids to everybody. It's like, well, so well, I don't understand. What is it, right? Wow, his kids come to him when he, his kids. And I'm like, well, you called me a militant earlier. I mean, well, I don't understand. But anyways, I love them though, all right? They're wonderful. And you don't know who they are other than I said that they're my in-laws, all right? All right, move right along here. Enjoy your children. I like to play with my kids. And I don't have all as much energy as I used to, but, you know, we played hide and seek a few times. And there's one spot in my house that even my wife can't find me, amen. That's pretty awesome. I'm kind of proud about that, all right? We play laser tag with one another. We do slip and slide. Actually, it's not really slip and slide. It's slip and drop. Hey, man, we don't know how to slide, either of us. But we're working on that. But we do a lot of water balloon fights. They love that. I just hate to clean them afterwards. We go places, bounce houses. We go on little vacations to, like, Long Beach, amen. But we have a great time. I want to enjoy my kids. Well, I tell them stories. You know, I used to be on a, you know, daily basis. Now it's like, you know, maybe once a week. I'll tell them a good night bedtime story and I'll make something up, or I'll make, not make my own Bible story, but I'll act out a Bible story just myself with no props. Pretty awesome, all right? But I try to enjoy my children because that's important. I want to show them love. By the way, someone's going to show them love. The problem with us losing some of our daughters and our children is that we're so strict and we don't have balance, or we're not strict, but at the same time, we don't show love. And if someone comes by and says, "Man, you look pretty in that outfit," and then they walk away, and then they're like, "Wow." And then some girl comes by and says, "Wow, you did a good job with this or that," and all of a sudden, just like that, that person can have a pimple the size of a golf ball on their nose, but the fact that they recognize your child's heart's gone. I don't want my kid's heart to be gone. I want it here, amen? Show them love. Number two, by setting limits. By setting limits, protect our children. Protect our children. Limits are our rules, right? Our boundaries that we set for them. Three areas to protect real quick. Number one is their attitude. Their attitude. And other people's kids don't affect me like my own kids, but I cannot stand my kids whining. Can I get a witness? I just can't stand whining. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I still have to correct them. By the way, it's going to, you know, some, if you're a new parent here thinking that just one rebuke is going to fix everything, no, you got to be consistent. That's a sermon for another day. And don't be frustrated with your kids. Love your kids, right? But at the same time, whining. Ask my wife. I can't stand whining. I mean, that's one thing. If you ask Andy, I don't know where my other kids are. They're over there back there. I can't stand. Did I already tell you that I can't stand whining? I mean, when I hear whining, I don't care if I'm taking a nap. I get up. We don't do that. And I'm so excited. I don't want to get off track. I'm excited about this. My wife's here. She's my proof. Benjamin. For the longest time, I waited for him to get to this point in life. You know, there's that point where they're under a year where you can do whatever you want to them. They're not going to listen to you. You can't really take them to restaurants, even though we still do. They don't listen. It is so weird right now, and I think it's comical, but it's a blessing. He'll whine and he'll cry, and right when he sees me, he'll stop. He's only a year. It's the funniest thing. But you know what? Praise God for that. All right? I remember training him from 8 months on and just trying to establish that, listen, I don't like you doing that. And I was thinking that it was never going to pay dividends. It was never going to work. Now, I actually, as of a couple months ago, you know, my wife would hold him and he'd be crying or something like that. I'd be in the back room. And then right when she'd almost make it kind of comical, she'd go, huh. She'll point him to me and I'll just look at him. He'll get, daddy. Am I lying? I mean, that is hilarious. By the way, make him cry. So I'm going to go pinch him today. I just want to see if it's true. But man, I don't like whining. And by the way, it's important for us not to allow our kids to whine. You know what whining is? I don't like the scenario. I don't know. I don't like how life is treating me right now. And because of that, I want to let you know. Well, one of the most important things that we can teach our kids is that life is not always perfect. And life doesn't always cater to you. And you don't get to have a bad attitude. That's why when they come to school and something happens, and mommy, daddy, and then they go home and they're allowed to whine, and then they get a job one day, and I don't like the circumstances here, and they start to whine, and they never develop as an adult properly. Why? Because they whine. Their attitude stinks. Let's guard their attitude. Don't let them complain about anything. I have one of my kids, he just normally just does, and it's a work in progress, but something we got to protect. Number two, protect their actions. the things that they do. Be careful. You know, I tell my kids, you don't cross the street by yourself, okay? You wear your seatbelt. And by the way, I'm not going to get into that, but it's one thing that I think we don't understand is that the way that we treat our children with something as simple as a car seat, right? Trying to evolve them and get them to be in a grown-up seat before time or not even letting them wear their seatbelts properly. It's a pattern. It's a little quiet in here, but it's a pattern. And what happens is that pattern carries on because you don't realize that one little mistake on that road, you have your seatbelt on, dad, mom, and you're safe, but your child is not safe. And that has nothing to do with being tough and being a big boy. That has nothing to do with falling down, getting a scrape, and get up, stop crying. That has nothing to do with that. I just think sometimes our mindset with our children, we don't protect them. We don't put them in a situation to be safe, and as a result, it carries over to every area of life. You know, the parent that is nonchalant with the seatbelt may be nonchalant with the friends because it's a mindset. The prudent man foreseeth the evil, and what? Hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. All right, let's protect their actions. One of the things my kids like to do is they like to put their fingers, they haven't done it lately, in the door, I don't know what you call the door jamb, but the part where the hinges, not the part that closes, but the part that hinges. And that's very sharp. It can be sharp, right? So they just do it there. And I always, now it's not never happened to them yet, but I say, guys, don't do that. And I raise my voice a little bit because I want them to understand the urgency. Some simple illustration. And then, so I'll show them. I don't do it hard. Don't call the Children Protective Services. But I put their hand there because I want to teach them. And I close it slowly. And I say, how does that feel? By the way, today's parents will be livid at me. They're probably livid at me right now, and I don't think we have any in here. I go, how's that feel? Oh, Dad, that's nothing. Watch this. I'll get a carrot, okay? How's that feel? Good. Owie, Dad. I go, that carrot's just as hard as your finger. Probably not, all right? But anyhow, boom. Whoa. So now it's hilarious. They'll put their hand to rest. My wife is my witness. And what's going on? Or they'll go up to the street. The ball rolls. Oh, well, why? Because I taught them to protect themselves. I taught them there's a reason why we don't do this and we do that, because there's repercussions that you may not like. Let's protect our children. Let's protect them. Associations. We talked about friendships earlier. You got to protect your children from the wrong associations. Next, use proper discipline as a training tool. I must hasten. I got about a couple minutes here. Okay, or actually 8:05. We will be done. Use proper discipline as a training tool. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And by the way, I don't condone child abuse. I don't. And one of the things that bothers me the most, I mean, I'm on YouTube and I watch a couple things here or there, but the things that probably strikes my emotions, okay, the most is when I see kids mistreated. Really, I just know what it is. I can get violent, I've learned. Okay, if I hear that kids are mistreated, it just sets me on another, like, man, it's just not good. I got to be careful, all right, how I would talk about this. But that's not what I'm talking about. Use proper discipline as a training tool. It should be out of love. But he that loveth him chasteneth him. So the Bible says if you love your children, you correct them. Why do you correct them? You correct them so they don't do it again, because you love them. And I believe far too many parents, especially in today's society, we just want to protect our kids in the wrong way, and we don't want to wound their spirit, and we don't want to hurt them, and we don't want to do anything to get their attention. As a result, they're not trained properly, and as a result, they become a menace in society, and as a result, you end up hurting your kids because they're the ones that can't get jobs. They're the ones that nobody wants to be around because they're spoiled brats. They're the ones that don't have a pleasant disposition. Let's train our kids. Okay, should be out of love, should be consistent. Chasteneth him betimes. Betimes means speedily, in good time. I am a condoner of when your kid does something wrong, we are supposed to deal with it as soon as possible. Yep. If I can ask my wife publicly right now and give her a microphone, even though I know she wants to preach, amen, and say, honey, how many times have I pulled the van to the side and established in every one of my kids' minds, daddy doesn't forget? I'm not God, but I know God. That's what I tell my kids. I'm not God, but I know God. I'm going to do something. They're acting wild. I said, it's kind of hard to talk in a van. So I'll be like, kids, if I hear that one more time, I'm stopping. You know, the problem is we say those things, but we don't do it. I remember we're at Legoland one time. And man, this mom, this kid was acting. I want to do this. I want to do that. She goes, you know what? This is why I didn't want to bring you. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to bring you home right now. And I looked at my wife or someone. I go, She ain't bringing him home. It's like 10:30 in the morning, man. I don't know where you came from, but you probably don't live in Carlsbad, where Legoland is, all right? You are not bringing them home. And she goes, yeah, you know what? We're going to go somewhere else. Not home. But that kid just what? Just won. And that kid established in their own minds that I can dictate how the situation goes. Okay, and we saw them later on with like cotton candy or whatever it was. Man, don't do that. But I want to establish in my kids' minds that dad is going to be consistent. Mom is going to be consistent. I'll stop the van sometimes and it'll get quiet. And I've done it with, man, I think we had John and Jazz one time in the car and they're like, what's he doing? You know, I don't know who it was, but I just stopped the van and dealt with it then and there. I've not had to do it since, and I'm thankful because, man, that just wastes time, right? Oh, so I shouldn't have said that. I will do it, kids, if I have to. Should be consistent. Should be under control. Can everybody say under control? The Bible says in Colossians, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Again, this goes with protecting them, all right? Our children know when we do it out of love or out of anger, right? And I get it. Sometimes we have a temper, but that doesn't make it right. Because if we go crazy and we just, then they start to think that they are failures. They start to, by the way, discipline is one purpose, to correct them to become better. But if they don't believe in their own heart that they could be better because of the words that lash out of our mouths when we're disciplining them, they're not gonna be better. Yep. Let's be careful with how we discipline our kids, because you're gonna provoke them to anger. You're gonna end up losing their heart. And that defeats the purpose. And then next, the devil can use our lack of proper discipline against us and drive away the hearts of our children. And then next, it should end positively. End with a hug. And depending on what they did, prayer. You see, you should end with prayer all the time. Good for you. Do that then. But there's sometimes, if it's real quick and small, I'm going to be honest with you, Miss Marianne, I'm not going to sit there and have a prayer meeting with my kids, okay? It's normally, hey, let's deal with this real quick. Go back. I don't want to tell you something that I don't do. But most of the time, if it's big, we'll pray about it because I want them to think about it, okay? Discipline them for what they did, not who they are. That's big. Discipline action. Don't discipline them for who they are. If they think that they're the reason, me, I am the reason that dad has dragon eyes right now and wings are purging out of his back right now. If I am the reason for that, they're going to feel like failures. But if they understand, I love you, but it's what you did. It's what you did. Okay, next. I got to go quick here. We should encourage them by giving them steps to improve with clear direction. After I discipline my kids, I tell them, now, here are some things that we can do to be better so that you don't end up in this situation. And one thing I love to do is, I didn't do this to you. Your actions did this. Your actions did this. So they know it's not daddy's anger. It's what I did that brought this upon me. Okay? Number three, sharing laughter. I'm going to go quickly. A merry heart. Do it good like a medicine. Don't always be too serious. The more we discipline, the more we should have fun with them. Balance. Number four, by strategic lifting. You say, why did you choose the word lifting? Because it starts with L. Okay, help me out here. Praise is what I mean. Praise is a powerful tool. Don't praise talent. Praise effort and character. Praise effort and character. A lot of times, parents will fall into this trap of, why don't you do as well as your sister does? Or your brother does, and we think that's going to motivate our kids, but really in their mind, they resent you, and they resent themselves. Man, I don't have these abilities. How come I'm not as tall as my sister? How come I'm not as strong as my brother? But in reality, we should praise them, because everybody can have effort and character. Not everybody can have strength or height or whatever it may be. Okay, we can have character and effort. We get what we praise. You know, there's a famous saying, you get what you emphasize. You get what you praise. If you want a kid that gets up early, when they get up early, whenever, however occasional that is, wow, amazing. High five. You know, 9 o'clock, let's try for 8:30 tomorrow, okay? Let's try it, all right? You get what you praise. Very important. I try it with my wife. It doesn't really work with spouses too much because they're a little smarter, but it should. Next, last point and I'm done, by spiritual leading. And I had a cold, so my voice is slipping away from me here, but by spiritual leading, this is the point that ties everything together. Raising children with God's purpose is a very spiritual thing. I don't have this in your notes because I forgot to put it in there. Raising children with God's purpose is a very spiritual thing. If we are not spiritual, our children will not be spiritual. You're not going to raise God or raise children for God's purpose just being smart.
You're not going to raise children for God's purpose just by being educated. You've got to be spiritual, and you've got to know God yourself. That's very important. We need to pray daily for our children. Do we even do that? You know, sometimes, you know, we think that that's just normal with every parent, but when you think about it, that's something that we could possibly overlook. And not only pray for them, but let them know that you're praying for them. Hey, you know, Daddy prayed for you today. Oh, why? My kids like to ask why for everything. Because I want you to stay alive today, all right? And it's like, whoa, if you don't pray for me, something's going to happen. I don't know, but they value prayer now. That's for sure. Pray for you when they get better. When they're sick, I always, you know, I say, let's pray. Maybe this is kind of hypocritical, but I'll say, let's pray. We're going to pray that God will heal you. And as they're praying, I'll stick like Tylenol in their mouth or something like that. Well, how you feel? Man, God's good. No, well, God is the one that allowed the Tylenol to work, okay? Come on, give me a break here. We need to gauge our spiritual condition daily. That's important. You know, sometimes you'll look at your tire, you'll feel like your tire is a little flat. You'll get the gauge out and you'll see, you know, what you need to do accordingly. Well, as a Christian, we need to gauge ourselves spiritually every day. By the way, this is important just for our own lives. Am I walking with God? Am I spiritual? You know, when I was preparing this lesson, am I applying some of these things? Am I walking with God like I should? Why? Because I want to gauge myself so I know what I need to improve, right? But if we never go for our spiritual checkup, what happens? We don't really do anything to improve ourselves. Okay, not only that, but we need to gauge the spiritual condition of our children. Here's a question to ask yourself. Not is my kid good? Not is my kid have character? And by the way, this is something I recently asked myself, and I was convicted because I think I can do more with my kids. But here's the question. Are my kids spiritual? Whatever age they are. 1-year-old, I don't think he's going to be very spiritual, at least in my family. 7-year-old, 6-year-old, are they spiritual? They need work because I need to do a better job. Teenager, college age, even married adults. Gauge your children spiritually. Do they fall asleep in church? Whenever the Bible's being read, are they always just kind of like, this is disinteresting? Very important. But by the way, if we don't gauge, we're not going to know what to do to get them better. You know, I mentioned in church one time that I probably pay attention 40% of the time, because the other 60% of the time, I'm making sure my kids are paying attention. It's very important for me, okay? I can tell some of you are only paying attention 40%, but the problem is you don't even have kids, so I feel kind of insulted. Next, our children are often limited because of the things that we don't want to give up. What does that mean? How does that fall under spiritually leading? Well, there are things in our lives, obstacles in our lives that we know aren't necessarily bad for us, but they're not good for us. And they're going to hinder our children. It could be entertainment. It could be anything, materialism. And our kids know that we have it. So we can't really expect them to not have it if we don't have it, right? But the problem is we limit what our children can be for God, because now that's one area that we can't touch. Let's be careful about that. And then lastly, we allow our children to have the same weaknesses that we have spiritually because we don't want to feel like a hypocrite. You know, what's the answer to that? I don't want anyone to be a hypocrite, but the answer is to get right so we can lead our family spiritually, so we can see them raised with God's purpose. 3 challenging questions in closing to keep before us. How does God view my parenting? Right now, ask yourself that question. I know I have, and there's things that I need to improve, but how does God view my parenting? 2, how does God view my children? What? Some of us, that's like, well, I never thought about that. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, one of the professors gave us a list of questions to ask ourselves daily. One of them was, what reason does God have to keep you alive today? Probably not a good reason if I'm sitting there looking at things I shouldn't look at. Whew. Where's the question? What does God think about your children? What does God think about my children? I don't know. We should get a hold of that. And then lastly, am I parenting with God's purpose in mind? You've listened well. Thank you so much for paying attention. I know the voice is a little irritating, even when I'm not sick, amen. But let's all stand in prayer, and we'll close the service.